All right, Pat, you've seen more Vikings seasons than anyone on the show has. We're halfway through the season. Vikings, well, they're tied record-wise with the Eagles for the best. Right? Eagles have a tiebreaker, but where are we at on the scale of Super Bowl excitement here? Where should we be at with this current Vikings team?
Well, let me say this. First of all, Vikings going up. Eagles coming down recent weeks. Yeah. Eagles are not playing nearly as well. They're not as dominant. They made the trade for Quinn. Now, they might have flattened out and they'll come back. I mean, all teams don't – not too many teams go 16-1 or something like that. But when you look at the NFC, it is you are allowed to have Super Bowl excitement. If there was somebody out there who terrified you, but now that the Eagles are look so vulnerable for about 3 weeks, really, and then they give up 30-some to the Commanders who – you know, when the Vikings were getting ready to play them, I said the reason they're going to beat the Commanders is they never score more than 17 points. Yeah. And they go and move it up and down the field against the Eagles last night. So, yes, with the condition of the NFC right now, it's fine to get Super Bowl excitement here. And Cowboys coming to town, that's always huge. When is the last time we had a big Cowboys game? Sometime in the playoffs, way back when.
I think the Vikings went there, Pat, in prime time in 2019, and Kirk actually, I believe, got the win. Okay. I think it's one of his rare primetime Sunday Night Football wins in 2019.
They were okay then.
They're okay.
The amazing stat about Dallas is, right, they haven't been to the NFC title game since 95, is it? 95?
I think that's right. Yep.
Yeah.
95, yep. When they beat the Vikings. I remember writing a column, if Denny gets beat today, he might get fired because all the controversies were raging. That was after the scandal and the whole thing. And Cowboys clobbered him, and Denny survived and got more power than he ever did and still hung around for 10 years. So that was not a prophetic column whatsoever. But, I think it's fine to have because they're getting better. And this Aiden Hutchinson is great. They finally got a tight end. Because Herb Smith is like the Phantom. We got Herb Smith.
Yeah.
Okay, exactly. Herb. See you in your next life, Herb. But that's a really big addition. And they're finishers. They were never, God loves them. They were never finishers. Now, here's the deal. Gary Anderson didn't miss a kick.
Right.
All year, and then missed one. Greg Joseph, who misses dozens of them, is going to kick a 57-yarder to put him in the Super Bowl. There is your ultimate karma, right? A guy that we can't rely on kicking them into the Super Bowl when Gary could not do it way back in '98. That is, I'm giving you that as my karma.
That scares me, Royce. We
need this to be on the record. Can we put this on the record?
Coming down, this 57-yard kick is coming down in the dome, and it hits the back of the goalpost and pops over. That's what happened.
Wow, Dax, let's put this in the Write That Down archives here.
That's a three-run homer, isn't it? If it comes true, I think.
It is, but unfortunately, if it's a 55-yarder, we're gonna have to buzz you because you're very specific.
Let's just make it 50 or more.
We want it to be one of those. He's got no chance. He's not gonna make
50,
this.
55 or more. 55 or more.
Why don't they try one more pass? Why don't they try one more play?
Ooh.
I know it's 4th and 4, but let's try one more play to get him closer. Like we were doing down in the Superdome with Brett, right?
How much bad luck, Patrick, does that erase?
This also makes up for Longwell not getting his chance to win the game, right? This makes up for a lot of sins. Greg Joseph kicking the Super Bowl vaulting, and then they get down there and one for the thumb, baby. Somebody's going to beat them, but that'll. they're good though. I've finally conceded that. I've been a god, they're lucky guy, but they're good. They're good. They're plucky as hell. They got a lot of good players. They're healthy. They got a roughness about them, a ruggedness about them that make plays. They got, you know, Patrick Peterson, who's comparable in Viking history to this guy that supposedly finished but comes up and makes a play every once in a while. He gets beat once in a while, but he makes some plays, and he has some spirit about him. And, yeah, they're good. I'm all in. I'm just now I was all in on PJ, but that was with a wink. There's no wink on this. I think they're good. I think they have a very good chance to win the NFC.
So if they make a 57-yard field goal that doinks in,
yes.
How much bad luck and misfortune through the years does that right there erase? Well, Minnesota, bad sports luck.
Their last two chances to actually win an NFC title game. Yes. They're both of those. Because the other two they were in, 41 Donut and 38-7, it wasn't exactly the kicker's fault, either of those games. So, yeah, I think it wipes out a lot of, you know what, the interesting thing about them is, compared to all the other franchises in town, how seldom they've been absolutely right. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, yes. they're always, you know, 7-9, 9-7, 10-6. Now you got 17 games. It's they don't have long stretches of rottenness. They have long stretches of not, you know, finishing, but they're always the one reason they're so popular is they're always relevant to some degree, right?
Yes.
And now that they're putting seven teams into the playoffs, obviously they don't need that this year, but that, you know, hell, they were terrible last year. They drove you nuts, and they weren't out of it till what, 2 weeks to go or something like that. They weren't they weren't completely done. So through different owners, through crazy son of a guns running the team, through the steady hand of Bud and the crazy hand of Bernsey and the grumpy hand of Denny and Chili and Ticey and all of them, they're usually relevant. They aren't rotten too.
You know what's amazing? So if we take away, let's take away the first, well, for sure, the first two seasons in Vikings history where they were an expansion team.
The
basically.
The Bad Brocklin era, they were relevant 1 year, 64. And then they went backwards in 65. And when Norm quit and then came back and the whole thing and the whole Tarkington feud. So the Ben Brocklin era was not, that was abject failure. And the Les Steckel was, the Les Steckel era was terrible too, but it was very brief.
It was very brief. Yeah. Well, they've only, even if you count the first 2 years in franchise history, they've only had really 10 seasons. A disaster to me is 5 wins or fewer, where you're you're fighting for the number one or number two pick. Not that 6-10 is not something to celebrate, but they've only had 10 of those. The first 2 years of the franchise, the first 3 years of the franchise, they won 5 games or fewer. And then there was another one in 1966 and 67. So if you take away the first era, the first 6 years, they've only had maybe 4 disaster seasons,
which is
kind of amazing.
It is. It's Les had the 3-13 or something like that, and I mean they've had disaster seasons.
Well,
with crazy happenings like
that's true.
You know, Ticey's last year when we had about a weekly scandal there, and then Chili's getting a dumbbell thrown at him by Percy Harmon wasn't it Percy that threw something at him?
Randy, nice toss.
Randy badmouthed them, and Chili had some rocky time, and Denny's last year was terrible. But yeah, they're always relevant, and I've also said this, Phil. I've said it often: is the post Randy Moss 98 Viking crowd is much more optimistic than the pre Randy Moss Viking crowd, because we were fatalists because of the 4 Super Bowls. We were, don't worry, Nothing good's going to happen. Now, at the end, and but the post-Randy crowd wants to be happy. They're not always happy. They get they decided Zim was an ogre and all that stuff. But they got an optimistic fan base now that they didn't used to have.
I would tweak that. I would create a third category as someone who is in the third category. So there's the four Super Bowls fans, which I would say you and Judd kind of caught the tail end as a kid. Yeah. He caught the aftershock of that. Then there's the fans that were sort of like Declan, almost like the fans that were born in the mid 90s or later, or early 90s or later, and they don't really remember 98. Those are the optimistic fans that believe anything is possible, largely.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But then there's the third group, and I'm in this group, that was born after the four Super Bowls, but very much became a huge fan of the Randy Moss era and caught the fever in 1998. And then they lose. And for fans in my generation, it's so hard to compute how they didn't win the Super Bowl that year that you like there's been no other team that comes close to that team in terms of dominance. So it's hard to even imagine. Yes. Well, if that team didn't win it, then how would this team win it? Yeah. You know,
I just had this other thought. You could almost define their eras by their dominant receivers because they've always, you had Randy. Great things are going to happen. We had now you got Jefferson early on. They've always Sammy White. Chris Carter era. You've always I'll have to look at that and see if there's a defining receiver for now. The first year, the defining receivers were Jerry Reichow and Bob Schnelker. So we weren't real good back then.
Yeah. You know?
Two slow white guys were your two receivers back then. But Paul Flatley was was their first star receiver, and they weren't very good. So it's probably been, is it the most, maybe defensive line, but is it the most prestigious position in Viking history? For the number of great players,
it has to be
that or
defensive line. It's either that or defensive line.
Anthony Carter, the run that he put them on with Bernsey and the whole. So it's kind of and this kid might be the best of all. Chip's got a great. He's gonna have a great thing tomorrow. Did you see his quote from Chris Carter that he already sent out there?
Yes.
I talked to him yesterday. He says, That wasn't a catch. He apprehended that ball. But he got a hold of Carter. He got a hold of Larry Fitz Jr. He got a hold of Sammy White. Wow. And he got a hold of who else? And, of course, Ron Johnson had to get himself in there. And
what?
Ron Johnson probably called him. And then but he talked some guys lesser, the best high school receiver in the state, the kid from St. John's, and he's gonna. That's gonna have a piece for tomorrow. Talking all.
Did
those
Chip
guys.
Cover Ron Johnson when he covered the Gophers?
I think he probably did.
Okay, so it was
the
like
thing about
a
him
dance.
Is,
okay.
He's starting off, and he doesn't know how many guys he's are gonna call him back.
Right.
I had talked to him. It's funny. I called him yesterday, and I said, "Do you have your lead for your Football Across America thing yet?" I think it'd be great to get four or five guys that, at different levels to what they thought of the catch. And he says, "I've already talked to three of them." So he was already on that story before the old mediocre minds think alike deal. But anyway, that was, I'm looking forward to reading that, especially when I saw the first quote from Chris Carter. Because Chris Carter could be great if you can get him in that rare occasion when he's in the right mood, that's a catch worthy of I don't know congratulations to Jerry Holt from the Star Tribune capturing that in its complete essence in the front page of the paper yesterday too.
Wow, yeah,
it was just great.
Hey Judd, do you have a Star Tribune next to you?
From yesterday, I do.
Yeah, that'll work. If you could just kind of open it up to, the second
page
there.
Okay, hold on
a second
here. Okay.
Oh, there we go.
There you go. Go for football.
Gopher basketball had a nice game last night against DePaul.
Hold on a second. Ron Johnson. If Ron Johnson is quoted, then Ryan Hoag damn well should be quoted too, okay? Because there was never a quote that Ryan Hoag wouldn't give as well.
Yeah, okay. He was a good one. But I had Phil out there in Seattle. You didn't get to watch that epic performance last night. But
no. I mean, I have ways. I chose to not watch it.
Yeah,
just to
that
be
was
clear.
A very good decision. But I was thinking, okay, last year, you know, they ended up last in the Big Ten because they didn't have any talent. But when you watched them last night, Jed and I exchanged this thought. They had no idea what the hell they were trying to do. It was complete miserable chaos. And then you're thinking, okay, last year, why didn't it look like this last year? Well, they had six seniors. Now, these guys were transfers from, I almost said bum university, but, you know, these were transfers from nowhere, but they had played, right?
And yeah.
I think if you told them to do something, they might not physically be able to do it, but mentally they could do it. You know, they could try to do it, right?
Yes, yeah.
I'm sure it's like talking to a wall with these guys, right? I mean, you got the freshmen who are like, you know, not superstar freshmen, decent freshmen, but they, God, it was brutal. It was brutal, unwatchable. They gave up 20 offensive rebounds.
Is Dawson Garcia good?
He's an inside player. He's an out. Why is he out there shooting jump shots? I thought he played inside.
I have no clue.
I don't know. He didn't know what the hell he was doing either. This is the first time I watched him in college because he never got off the bench hardly with North Carolina. So, he was. But, boy, that was terrible. And it's going to – they're picked to finish last in the Big Ten, and nothing we watched last night would change that. So I guess what we have to do is – I think, Phil, you've said this about other things. This is what a rebuild looks like. And last year, that wasn't a rebuild. That was a who can we get to show up, right?
Yeah.
And play. Who will come and play, you know, two transfers from William and Mary, for God's sake. You know, so this is the start of the rebuild. Because last year,
it is.
There was no foundation.
Last year was year zero.
Yes, that was a true year zero. There's no doubt about it.
Is there hope here, though? I mean, Ben Johnson did hit on some decent recruits in this last recruiting class, right? There is some talent on the way.
Yeah, well, Carrington, everybody said is going to be really good. I mean, he was hurt. He's not playing. They don't have battle to kind of steady the ship. And I like the big kid, Farrell Payne, is it? I mean, he's big. He's a big kid. He doesn't shoot for more than 2 feet away from the basket, but that's okay. But yeah, I think there is. But this is. I think last night was reality. Okay, this is the start. We'll see where he is in 2 or 3 years because that had to look at 3-17 in the Big Ten last night, man. That was terrible.
The barn is going to be rather chilly and empty this winter.
Yes. Well, you know what? Since the scandal and even before, since 97, it's 25 years now, Gopher basketball has been as bad as anything in town.
It has been. Yeah.
They've been terrible.
They've had like two years with Tubby.
I think they won two NCAA games since then, right? Two. I think Patino won one.
Patino won one. Tubby won one and got fired.
Tubby
win the first one since then and got fired? I think he did,
yeah, because Munson only went once, right, with Vincent Greer. And then Tubby went three times, but he went with the first couple of years, he went with 9-8 or 9-9 teams in the Big Ten. But, oh, you know what's good, though? The white floor is gone. It's safe to watch Gopher basketball again. They have a real floor.
Star Tribune's going to do a big story about it.
Has anyone ever marketed the floor as the number one reason to come to a basketball game?
Hey, you can see the game.
The new programs actually have the floor on the front cover. It's great.
Yeah. Interview the floor. The poor. I think the pain was 4 for 4 or 5 for 5 in the first half, and they were shooting from a foot away, you know. But the other guys were 3 for 26 or something like that. They went how long? They were over. They missed 12 straight shots at one point. So that was brutal. At least Whalen got a great superstar in the making, this freshman, Maura Brown. Maura Brown must be something. But, yeah, it's going to be lonely over there again this winter.
It's okay. Well, at least we've got the other basketball team to lean into here.
And D'Lo has turned it around. So you guys who've been ripping D'Lo for weeks now.
Yeah. Yes. How quickly was Tim Connolly? How many fellow GMs and Pobos did Tim Connolly text in the hour after D'Lo's breakout game?
Hey, did you see this? I'll send you a video. It was great, man.
I love it's like, we're celebrating his performance. No, that needs to be a nightly occurrence when you're making $31 million and you're the starting point.
Or at least a monthly occurrence.
Right, that works too. Yes. Yeah,
it's a clearance sale.
If he doesn't stink the next game, I'll be shocked. I don't even know when do they play again.
Is it tonight or tomorrow?
I don't know. I don't think they're home.
Go check out Flagrant Howl.
I was going to say, you're only co-host of the Flagrant Howl show, Mackie.
You know what, though? We were bashing Jim Pete's quote about they just had too many home games. Maybe he was right. D'Lo had too many home games.
He did,
he was distracted. You know, they didn't get beat at Memphis, but, you know, they're always going to get beat at Memphis. But, maybe that was great analysis. Maybe that wasn't BSN BS. Maybe that was a great analysis there, Jim Pete. Congratulations. Too many home games.
Coming up next, 82 road games next year. The Wolves are going to try to play a schedule all on the road.
We've confirmed it's tomorrow night against the Magic. Tomorrow night.
Oh, okay. In Orlando, right? In Orlando,
yes,
or here.
Yeah. Thank,
in Orlando.
No, thank they're God. On a four-game swing. They go to
thank
Philadelphia.
God. No thank home God.
Yeah. No. Shutter Target Center.
In fact, this could be the run here. The next time they have back-to-back home games is first week in December. So they're going to get plenty of time to sleep in those whatever hotel they
Weston,
stay in beds.
Heavenly
you got my prediction, boys. Super Bowl, Greg Joseph, 57-yarder. It's happening. Get a T-shirt.
We will.
Did the It's Happening T-shirts say Twins on them, or does it just say it's
no,
happening?
No, I think that, so we're not, you can't do that, but you can do color schemes. So, you know, we could bring those back for
what were the ones we had to burn?
Those were the
Wiggy ones. No,
it was a Royce and Mackey in Dunkin' Donuts lettering.
Oh, that's right.
And Dunkin' Donuts sent a cease and desist letter, and we had to burn the. I don't think we ever actually gave any away, but yeah, we did have a couple. We had to return and burn in the back of the Hubbard building. So. No one ran that one by legal.
Incredible.
No. And then we had to. And then the Gophers made us bleep can what was my T-shirt about? Not being able, not elite. My not elite, because we still had some Gopher stuff out of there.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Right?
So we sold out our 50 not elite T-shirts, and then we had to stop making those too. We had some T-shirt calamities there for a while.
Yeah,
I found an Agitate one the other day though downstairs, and it fits. So I wore that.
That's a great one. We also, one time we had Gopher-themed, I think it was just like Gopher-themed 1500 ESPN T-shirts, and Rachel Banham, after her freshman year, came up and did an interview at the State Fair with Royce and Mackey, and she comes up there, and there's like two PR people down, you know, in the grass, and gave her a shirt. Here's a Gophers-themed 1500 ESPN shirt, and she walks down, and the PR gal grabs it from her, returns it back, and says, "This would be a violation." If she took a free T-shirt, it'd be a violation.
Yeah, I've a few times, not recently, but, you know, like met a Gopher athlete over at Manning's when you can do that. And he won't let you buy him a hamburger. I'm not going to rat you out to the NCAA. Here, eat a hamburger for a drink.
Now it's fine. Now anything goes.
Now it's name, image.
You could buy him beers.
Name, image, and hamburger. You can
have exactly
amazing.
All right, gentlemen.
All right, Pat. All right, well, thanks, we'll see Pat. See you later. That's Pat rapping with Royce here 3 days a week on Mackie and Judd's Corner YouTube channel, and Royce Unchained. You can find that from yesterday, breaking down the Vikings Super Bowl run here. See you guys.